This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, that was Cream with I Feel Free. I'm Sharad Kutan with me, Melissa Idris and Tan Chung Han. And the morning run continues. It's just 39 minutes past 6 in the morning on the 12th of June. We're taking you all the way up to 10 o'clock this morning with a range of interviews, news and analysis. Let's turn our attention to the latest in the Tabung Harapan Malaysia story, and that is that the Yang di-Pertuan Agong Sultan Mohammed V will be cutting his salary and annulments by 10%. He says because he was so moved by the efforts of ordinary people as well as companies to contribute to the Tabung Harapan Malaysia, which I think at this point in time is about 56 million ringgit strong.
Okay, so that's the final tally, is it? Okay, so
not the final tally.
Sorry, the tally as of last night. Okay, so he's taking a 10% pay cut to contribute to Tabung Harapan, or is it just okay? So the salary will be reduced by 10%, but it doesn't say whether that money is going to go into Tabung Harapan. It just means that. Yeah, he won't be getting the 10%.
Right, I guess he's lightening the load on the federal coffers there, no? Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, well, he also thought was quite interesting. He said that he's not going to be holding a Raya Open House this year at the Istana Negara because the funds for that event should be used for helping the less fortunate.
Well, you know, this of course comes after a very difficult, story that came out in the media with regard to how much he spent. So the Royal House, according to veteran newspaper man A. Kadir Jassin, who's also the spokesperson for the Council of Eminent Persons, he claimed that some 256.9 million ringgit was spent for the upkeep and personal expenditure of Sultan Mohammed in the 16 months that he's been on the throne. That's 256 million. That's a quarter of a billion ringgit for one man and his entourage.
Right, and that's the cost for his entourage. But, you know, I wonder what the breakdown is specifically for his salary and emoluments. Right?
Well, actually, the breakdown was distributed all throughout social media if you were watching. But the question remains whether those numbers are accurate.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important thing
to
note. Yeah. There are monies that are apparently slated for the Royal House and its expenditure. And I'm sure the Sultan of Kelantan also has his own personal wealth to fall back on. But this is a side story. And so his recent move to, to ease the burden of government expenditure, I guess, would be welcomed. At least there's a kind of damage control over that. Because he's not come out to deny those numbers either by Kadir Jassin.
Right. And you've got the cabinet ministers also, you know, doing the same wall, granted a couple of weeks back, right, declaring that 10% cut.
Was that voluntary?
Well, I think that's what the big man wanted.
So. Okay, so there's a difference between saying I will take a pay cut, a 10% pay cut, versus my boss has asked me to take a 10% pay cut.
Well, what is important is the gesture, right? And some decisions are made collectively, some are made as individuals, you know. And
authoritarianly?
Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, you know.
Okay, what do you guys think about the fact that there's no open house for Raya Open House for Istana Negara this year?
Well,
what does it mean that we, you know, should state-sponsored open houses be suspended to cut, you know, some of the expenditure costs?
Okay, look, I can see the fiscal rationale for it. I get it. But, you know, very often then you talk about, say, not just royalty, but politicians who are detached from the people, right? I think these Raya open houses is a great opportunity for the rakyat, you know, the grassroots.
Have you been before to any one of these open houses?
And see, that's the thing. I have not, but at two previous gigs, you know, when we sent our reporters out to cover these Raya open houses, they always spoke about how much fun, like, the Orang Kampung had, you know, because it's such a big deal for them getting to go to either the Prime Minister's house or the Agong's house, and they genuinely love it, right?
So, well, a lot of people in Malaysia, and I think it's not a uniquely Malaysian story, but we love anything free. So free food.
Yes.
But if you watch some of the videos that have come out of these, you know, people jostle, they take too much, there's so much wastage. And so that's the real downer with these events, is that because it's free, because people kind of get slightly hysterical, they the results results in a in something that's actually quite ugly. So for me, maybe. Maybe less open houses, less ugliness. Maybe just keep the open houses within your neighborhood, and we just all meet each other. Maybe that would be
much
better.
But how do you meet your leaders? How do you get access to that? I haven't been in recent years, but when I was growing up in Penang, we often went to the chief minister at that time. Was it Koh Soo Koon, the chief minister of Penang? And I remember going to open houses and meeting all sorts of people. As a child, that was such a, like, oh my God, it's a huge event, and to be part of something. It was quite a spectacle, you're right, and there's a lot of money to be spent, but it was a way to, I guess, gather. I do feel a twinge of sadness that perhaps the state-sponsored open houses may no longer be a thing going forward, but
maybe just for this year.
But yeah, maybe while we get our finances in order. But you're right. I think it's because we've allowed it to become such a spectacle of wastage that perhaps we should look at ourselves first.
Okay, we'll be back with more. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.